Hey everyone, welcome to this week's edition of Taking Stock, where we're going to hit upon the topic of consumer engagement with Adoya Hidalgo. Adoya is a colleague of mine at Clarkson Consulting. We've worked closely together over the past 18 months at various consumer products clients. And Adoya is really passionate about the topic of consumer engagement. She has a background in consumer marketing prior to joining Clarkson and has been able to work with some of our consumer products clients around that topic. I've worked in the CP industry for over 25 years, and consumer engagement has always been the thing that I've always felt is foundational for consumer products companies. But obviously, it's picked up in conversation over the previous few years. I think that digital is certainly empowering and enabling a lot of consumer engagement activities. But also consumers' expectations are changing. And I think that is also driving this critical imperative of consumer engagement. So we're going to hit upon a bunch of topics today. And I think you're really going to enjoy the discussion. In addition, you're going to learn a couple of different languages from Adoya as well. So enjoy the conversation, and we'll talk soon. Hey, Adoya, welcome to Taking Stock.
Hi, Steve. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. So for all of our listeners out there, one of the coolest things about you is your ability to speak fluently. And how much is it, seven different languages?
Six.
Okay. All right. So do us a favor. Any language of you want. So I'll let you pick. But say a quick hello and a greeting to any of our loyal listeners. Any language you want to choose. So go for it.
Hola a todos, ¿cómo estás? Hello, me llamo Adoya.
Awesome. What was that?
That was Spanish.
Spanish, and you said what?
Hi, I'm Adoya. How are you guys?
Awesome. Well, I won't make you say hello in the other five languages, and we'll just take your word for it. So, but thank you very much for joining us here today. And you and I have talked about the topic of consumer engagement a ton. And for myself, I've worked, as you know, I've worked in this industry for a long time, I think over 25 years now. And it's definitely clear that the most successful organizations have always had the consumer at the center of everything that they do. It's something I've talked about forever, but it seems as if the imperative is more pronounced than ever. And more companies are looking to develop that consumer-centric strategy that allows them to better serve today's consumer and unlock the growth that they're looking to achieve. So if you look at today's market though, right, I want to get into like why it's different today. So certainly consumers expect what they want, you know, they expect where they want it, how they want it, and when they want it. You and I have talked about this many times. It all starts with engagement, you know, the ability to be able to connect with the consumer. It's all about being able to engage with the consumer. So that's where I want to focus today. So to start, how do you define consumer engagement? There are so many different definitions out there. What is your definition of consumer engagement?
Great. Thanks for asking that. That's a really good question. I think, you know, the word consumer engagement says a lot. So of course, the consumer is at the heart of it. And what's really important is that word engagement. So it's really about that two-way interaction with the consumer rather than a one-way interaction. And really being able to understand that consumer and create relevant and personal content. So with consumer engagement, you know, companies really are looking to build that relationship and not have that one-way communication that they may have been doing in the past.
So how did, in that relationship, it's, you know, when you think of relationship, you think of equal sides and they both have the same interest in the relationship. But obviously, it still is the dynamic of you have a, in this case, a consumer products manufacturer who has something that they're looking to gain out of the relationship. How do companies embark upon that two-way relationship in a non-self-serving way, if you know what I mean?
Definitely, that's another really good question. So I think one of the key things here is that it needs to seem natural and relevant to the consumer. So that, you know, that's something I was referring to before. And for companies to do that, they first of all really need to know their consumer. So understanding who your consumer is, what moves them, what their consumer journey looks like, perhaps there's some things that, you know, pain points on their way for purchase that need to be solved for. And truly understanding that consumer in that way enables companies to actually provide solutions that are meaningful to them versus just communicating and marketing things that might not touch them as much. So I think at the heart of it is really, as I mentioned at first, truly knowing that consumer and being able to play and provide solutions that they want to see and want to engage with that company for.
Yeah, and there's so many things that make this more challenging than it's ever been. I mean, consumers, you say like knowing your consumers, but consumers are so fickle nowadays. Their loyalty is so quick to change, and their likes and dislikes and what excites them is changing so quickly. So how do you maintain that understanding of the consumer to be able to engage with them as effectively as you need to?
Yeah, definitely. And that is a real challenge because maybe in the past companies, you know, built target consumers and consumer personas and maybe didn't revisit them, you know, every month or year and just right. kept them for a while. And nowadays, as you mentioned, consumers are changing, they're changing preferences. So it's really important that you have your data set up in a way that you can actually track that consumer, measure that consumer, and have your business set up in a way that you can actually be agile and act upon that.
So kudos to us, or kudos to you, because we're 5 minutes into our chat here and we haven't said the word digital, or I don't believe we have. And or maybe you said it in Spanish and I missed it. But so obviously it's really hard to have a conversation these days without talking about digital. And you know, digital marketing strategies are obviously a critical tool for companies to be able to communicate their message with consumers. But that's not what consumer engagement is. Like, talk a little bit about kind of that blurry line of consumer engagement and digital marketing, and how does it all kind of come together in your mind?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And it's fun that we actually hadn't said that word yet, digital. Yeah. I think one of the key things about digital is that it has enabled consumer engagement in a way that wasn't possible in the past. So before we were able to connect with our consumers and have that two-way relationship online, of course, people may have been engaging with them in stores and in the field, but it wasn't possible to do it in such a mass way as it is today in digital. And that technology of being able to reach the consumers online digitally has also changed the consumer expectations, to your point before, that now it's become the norm. So that has become the standard to be able to communicate with the consumer in that way. And I think one of the key things that has really changed the landscape is that now a lot of digital native brands and direct-to-consumer brands have fully changed the expectations. They are born out of consumer needs. They have fewer, you know, functional silos and old ways of working that they need to stick to, and they can truly engage with that consumer in a way that's meaningful and has completely changed the rules of the game.
Yeah, I love it. And it's, you know, it's why kind of these barriers to entry have been so diminished. And I think the reason why smaller companies that have been born digital are able to compete is because they do have that direct line of engagement with their consumers. I think the challenge is, you know, for larger organizations, how do you scale that and how do you maintain that? Because when I think of consumer engagement, one of the words that comes to mind for me, at least, is intimacy.
Yeah.
How do you maintain that intimate engagement when you're so big?
Yeah, and that's a struggle that we see a lot of companies have. And I think one of the key things as well is that not only is it how do you scale it, but how do you change the perception and the ways of working, where larger traditional companies are used to really, you know, communicating to consumers more in the masses and really focusing on reach. And the bigger a company gets, the more they do need to reach more consumers so that they can actually grow their business. And a lot of their strategies used to be truly focused on that reach aspect and from a marketing challenge, you know, the awareness fact of your product. And I think a key difference to what digital native companies do very well is that they truly understand that they want to create a loyal base of consumers that, you know, and are able to actually become advocates. And there's a true opportunity there for larger companies as well, is it's not just about gaining consumer loyalty, but really creating those consumer advocates that go ahead and spread the word. Word of mouth is still so powerful, not just online, spread through influencers and friends, but even just, you know, when you're talking to your friends and family. And I think that's something that digital native companies really understand, that long-term value of a consumer, both their own lifetime, but also the value that they can provide by speaking to others. And there's a lot of scalability in that that I think larger organizations still need to embrace, that that investment is a little bit longer term than immediate.
Yeah, I love that you brought up advocacy, Adoya. And, you know, I think back to, you know, we all learned through P&G around your two moments of truth, right? The first moment of truth when you purchase the product and the second when you use it at home. And then Google introduced this idea of kind of the zero moment of truth.
Yeah.
Like to me, it's like, it's all about like the really kind of in between that second moment of truth and that zero moment of truth and the idea of advocacy and how are you sharing and listening and engaging and advocating for those products. And I think the opportunity for consumer products companies in this case is how do you interject yourself into that advocacy cycle? But in a way, like we said earlier, isn't self-serving and isn't like you have something to gain from it, that you are just a part of the conversation and you're able to listen to your consumers, engage with your consumers, and help support that advocacy and understand that advocacy to drive towards, you know, that continual cycle of advocacy and then purchase and then advocacy and purchase.
Yeah. And I think to build on your point, it's normal that companies do have something to offer to consumers, but it really just needs to feel relevant. So it doesn't, right. it can't be forced. So if it's really based off of, to our conversation earlier, a pain point and something that's really making their lives better and solving for something, they don't mind companies reaching out. But if it becomes forced and something that isn't applicable to them, that's when they won't want to engage with that company for whatever products they're reaching out for.
Cool. So I want to get maybe a little bit more tactical as you think about consumer engagement and some of the key steps that companies need to take. So and from the work that you and I have done together and a lot of what I've learned from you, the first step really is about identifying who your consumer is. So talk a little bit about consumer personas and how that process works.
Yeah, definitely. So indeed, what the first step really to be able to start, you know, engaging with your consumers more is, like you mentioned, knowing who your consumer is. And for a lot of companies, they might have some target consumers in mind and people who they believe are their consumers or who they're trying to make their consumers. But really building out different personas and understanding the differences between the consumers that you might already have is really step one to be able to understand them better. So really identifying the different possibilities of your consumer through the data that you might have online or traditionally or even through research agencies to be able to identify them. That's really step one. So who are the people that are actually buying our product, not the people that we want to sell our product to? So really identifying the personas. And then the second step would be identifying their journey. So what is their path to purchase? How are they currently being engaged with the products? What makes them decide whether or not to try a product, buy a product, and perhaps repeat purchase? So really understanding those steps in their journey and also understanding what are maybe the challenges there. So what pain points are they encountering in that path to purchase for your products? And another thing that's important to look at, you know, through this journey is the role that the different touch points play, both online as well as offline. So what is the role of in-store for some products if it's a product that's still sold traditionally? And what is the role of the different digital touch points that you might interact with your consumer on? And that would be that second step. So truly understanding that, you know, path to purchase of the consumer and what drives them and what maybe challenges them.
So quick question before we kind of go down further, I do want to kind of dive back into the persona piece of it. So what is the right level of granularity in terms of like, because obviously if you think about defining who your consumer personas are, you could get really, really granular and you could segment down to the individual consumer. Or you could keep things at the highest level. Like, how do you determine what is the right level to be kind of segmenting those different personas?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it will depend on every company's, you know, the data that they have and the possibilities mm-hmm. that they have. I think at this higher level step, it makes sense to create a few more generic personas
okay.
to really understand, you know, this type of person. And that doesn't mean that you won't be looking at individual people once you start really engaging and interacting. That'll be important to be able to look at and identify individual people as well. But in this step, to kind of be able to create more engagement strategies, it's okay to do that at a higher level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and are those personas, are those, and if I'm getting too tactical here, but are they personas that are current state, like the customers that you're currently serving, or is it aspirational and here are the consumers that we'd like to more effectively engage with?
That's a really good question. Some companies want to maybe try new things, reach new people, change their messaging. And in that case, you could use it more to test and learn about potential new personas and
Sure.
then use the strategies that you build out to see if that's actually effective and if that's working. Alternatively, some companies want to know the difference between who they think they are targeting and who actually buys their product. And in that case, it would be more about defining who your actual persona is versus maybe the one that you think that you're targeting. So to answer your question, maybe a bit ambiguously, but you can do it in both ways.
All right, so sorry to cut you off. So continue through kind of the steps that you would take. I think once you've kind of now understand your consumer, it's really about kind of understanding the consumer and then matching that consumer, to your business and finding those, points of intersection. Is that
Definitely.
capturing right? Okay.
That's really a key step. They need to not only just look at it from the consumer's perspective, but at some point, once they've identified several opportunities and challenges in the consumer journey, they can match that to their own business objectives to really see, which challenges fit their own opportunities and objectives to be able to find that sweet spot between the consumer and their own business objectives and actually from there, build a plan to be able to say, yes, the consumer is struggling with, finding where our product is, and we want to make sure that, we grow a business. So let's make sure that that's a challenge that we solve for.
Cool. So with all of this, one of the things that, again, another thing that you and I have talked about is the quantification of success. And it is very, I kind of, whenever I think about success and ROI, I always think about, I know half my marketing platform is working. I'm just not quite sure which half. And it's always very hard to measure success. That this is something fundamentally that you need to do. Without a doubt, to compete in today's market. But how do you quantify success? How do you know if some of your different engagement strategies are working? Is it building out a database? Is it more improved social listening skills? Is it a better return on your marketing investments? Is it just pure, company growth? Like, what are ways in which companies know as if they're whether or not they're doing this well?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and it's a difficult one. So it's still something that companies do struggle with, setting KPIs and be able to truly measure, whether or not these strategies are successful. And but I think one of the key things that, is important is truly setting the right KPIs for the goals that you want to measure. So for instance, if one of the key goals for many companies will be consumer loyalty and advocacy, making sure that the metrics that they put in place upfront are really those that enable to measure that. So if you can track your consumers, ideally through your own database or otherwise through other surveys and ways to reach them to see if you're actually creating a more loyal base and if you're extending that loyalty, and asking the consumers about their advocacy as well are ways to, for instance, measure that. So I think that's really the most important thing is knowing one, what you want to achieve from it from a business perspective and setting the right KPIs to measure that. Because one of the challenges with digital marketing strategies is that you can measure so much. So it's easy to put 20 KPIs behind one, like even small strategies. So making sure that you choose the right one to measure what you want to achieve.
Yeah, that's great. And again, I think that it's aligning up front as to what those definitions of success are is absolutely critical, and it keeps you also focused in and on what you want to achieve. This is awesome,
Definitely.
Adoya. I appreciate it very much. This is a topic that I know that a lot of people are truly interested in, and look forward to having further discussions with you and learning more. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
You know what drives me crazy about talking to someone like Adoya who could speak six languages is it just makes me feel intellectually inferior.
Oh, well, I mean, correct. Correct. Because I only speak one language.
Barely.
And that's English. And barely. Correct.
You and me
Correct.
both. So here's what I'm like, when I think about consumer personas, and I know I asked the question of Adoya, and I still struggle with it a little bit, because how, you know, let's just, I'll overly simplify this. You are a company and you have 100,000 consumers. You could either say, all right, we're going to have 100,000 personas, and that's getting like deeply segmented. Or you could say we have one persona and that's everyone who, like, what is the right kind of level of granularity or right level of segmentation? And it's really hard, because you could argue that some companies like Tropicana, like if you go shopping for orange juice,
yeah,
like how many different orange juices are there? Like with calcium, without calcium, with pulp, without pulp. And it's because they are trying to tap into so many different consumer personas. And is that too much? Or how many different types of toothpaste are there, right?
Exactly. Oh, there's a million, right?
Right.
You almost wonder, like, are they just guessing? Let's just make everything and then just kind of figure out what people like. Like, what orange juice do you drink, Steve?
I actually water mine down a little bit. So
really, are you a pulp guy?
I'm a pulp guy, but they're often a little too acidic for me, so I need to water it down a little bit.
It can give you that heartburn.
Yes,
I'm a simple simply orange, I think it's called.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's what I like. So I don't know. So what's my persona then? If I like simply orange, I think maybe that brand comes across to me more, I guess, El Natural, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yeah. But you know, the idea of like, what's your persona? Like, should it, like, how, at what point, what is the critical mass for a company that requires to like defining a persona? Like, how many do you need? Or how granular do you want to get? Because obviously, the more granular you get, the more that you segment your customer base, the more personas that you have, it could cripple your organization, because you can't possibly cater towards all the unique personas. So that decision making process that Adoya talked about is absolutely critical. Like, what is the right level that you want to segment? So you get that right level of granularity, so you can engage with consumers in a more intimate way.
Right.
But also not cripple your organization.
Right. And I think she also hit on, you know, just making sure that you're setting those key KPIs, right? I mean, you don't want to track everything.
Right.
Right. Because then what are you looking at the end of the day? You're just looking at a bunch of data. Yep. So making sure it aligns with your goals. So I really thought that was a really key point that she made.
Yeah. And then also get the data that you're going to be able to act upon. Like, so many things now, you know, let's just say that you're leveraging social media to be able to engage with consumers more effectively. You've got, you know, just volumes and volumes of data that you're able to accumulate. But if you're not able to do anything with it, you know, what's the point?
Right. I guess from your perspective, what's the most, I guess, crucial part of all this? Like, so when you think about consumer engagement, mm-hmm. I mean, you can break this down into a number of elements, right? You know, you got making sure you're humanizing your brand.
Sure.
You know, making sure you have a social media presence, trying to personalize customer communications, you know, creating useful content, providing value. Like, to you, like, what's the most important? And I know that's going to vary, right? Brand to mm-hmm. brand, company to company. But if you were to start a company today, what's your key focus? What's your most important one?
Yeah, I think the two things. First off, I think that it needs to be authentic.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, because if it's not, it's if the consumer feels as if this is to benefit, like with any relationship, it needs to be equal.
Yep.
And if it feels as if it's a one-sided relationship where the manufacturer has everything to gain and the consumer is just the recipient of everything that the manufacturer is trying to push, that's not going to work. It needs to be an authentic relationship that is meaningful for both sides, and actually more meaningful for the consumer than for the company.
Yeah. It's got to feel genuine. And we're all consumers at the end of the day. Right. And, short story, I was in Scottsdale, Arizona a few weeks back, and, you know, I was there working the whole week, and, I typically work out at the end of the day. So I went and joined this gym. It was called The Village. And I'm not giving them free marketing right now because I thought their consumer engagement was not genuine. Uh-huh. But anyway, I went there. I signed up as a guest. And of course, they're getting your data, right? They're getting your email. You're getting your phone number. Flash forward 2 weeks ahead, I'm getting an email from The Village, right? Because they're trying to get you to become a customer, right? Mm-hmm. Like a full-time customer.
Sure.
And you could just totally tell that, you know, this email was completely automated. It didn't even have a signature at the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. And the gym that I work out at home, that I become a member probably maybe 3 weeks ago. So I'm still fairly new. You know, I get personalized email messages from the coaches, and you can tell that it's at least I hope so. Right. it doesn't come across as a transactional message, right? It comes across as, hey, we're really trying to get to know you. Like, what are your fitness goals?
Yeah.
And to me, brands or companies that can do that effectively, I mean, they're just ahead of the game. And you, and as a consumer, I can see that, and you can see it. So, to me, you know, if I were to pick one, it's just trying to personalize those customer communications, I think, is huge.
And also understanding your consumers, and obviously our friends in Scottsdale didn't even realize you don't live there. So,
so exactly.
like understanding the consumer, it's like, and you know, it's like those, you know, we used to, you know, we lease cars, and, we still get, notices from, you know, cars that we leased like 6 years ago asking how our, you know, 2012 Honda Pilot is doing.
Yeah.
I haven't had that car for, you know, 6 years now.
Yeah.
You know, just, there's just not understanding your consumer. So when you get those messages, it just, while the attempt is to try to engage with you, it just seems so incredibly inauthentic.
Yep. And you know what I find, you know what I kind of find kind of funny about this whole consumer engagement topic is, I think it truly is. It's kind of complicated, and I think tough to go and execute some of these things. But when you really boil it down, I mean, to the basic concepts behind what really drives consumer engagement and how you do it well, they're very basic concepts, aren't they?
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? It's just kind of funny how, you know, sometimes the simpler a concept is, the harder it is to go out and execute that.
It's simple for me and you when you just think about, you know, one-on-one type relationships, or even that trainer who's trying to engage with, you know, 100 people who are members of a gym. Obviously, when you think about the scale and you think about the millions of consumers and the thousands of products, it does get more complicated. But you're right. You need to break it down to its simplest concepts.
Yep.
And, you know, what are the four or five kind of key personas and or attributes of our consumer, and what are the tactics that we want to deploy to be able to more effectively engage? And then how are we going to measure success? And let's say you said it also, and Adoya did. What are the KPIs that you want to have in place to help quantify success? Because that really helps shape the tactics. You know, like if it's consumer loyalty, you know, obviously your tactics are going to be vastly different than if it is sales or top line growth or just word of mouth, like whatever it might be. It's going to help dictate the tactics that you're going to put in place.
Yep. 100% agree. Well, look at this. I think we're like, this is going to be a record recording for us here.
I love it. I love it. And Zach, appreciate your insight. It's nice to know that our intellectual inferiority doesn't get in the way of our ability to have good conversations with folks like Adoya.
Well, we were joking before we started recording that Adoya is a certified genius. But in all seriousness, not only that, she is one of the nicest, if not the nicest stewards that we have in our firm. And it was awesome that she took the time to feed us some knowledge on consumer engagement. Yep. And I think we all got a little bit smarter. And thanks again for having me on, and we'll talk soon.
So big thank you to Adoya and Zach for their perspectives. Adoya, as you got to hear, is a real thought leader around the topic of consumer engagement, with some kind of strategic thought around the topic, but also some tactical steps that we should all be taking. So thank you all for listening, and wishing you all a great day. And we'll talk again in a couple of weeks. As I mentioned last week, Tom Finnegan and Neil Nelson will be joining us. They are the Clarkston co-founders, and we're going to have a discussion around how they founded Clarkston. We're going to talk about entrepreneurialism. We're going to talk about leadership. A lot of really fun topics. So look forward to seeing you all then. Thanks.